Well, good morning. You'll have to shout up if you've got an answer at the back there. Well, I thought we'd finish today. The subject that has been our subject of consideration for the last couple of months, I think. And can you tell me what that subject is, Charlotte?
The authority of the Bible.
The authority of the Bible. That we should listen to the Bible above anything else. And we thought about reasons why we should. And we thought at the beginning how there is a battle for the Bible and a battle against the Bible. And there are those who are saying, oh no, we've got our own point of view and our own ideas which we put over and above the Bible, and those parts of the Bible that we don't like, we just dismiss, or we look at the Bible differently. And so they have their own ideas as to how to look at it. And we need to know that that is wrong, that we're following the Bible's own pattern of thought and all of the good reasons there are to take the Bible, all of the Bible, and absolutely believe every page of it. But I wanted to finish today with a thought further. We've seen how the Bible has its own prophecy which runs through there, which is extraordinary, and how the beginning and the end fit together so perfectly. So what's at the beginning and what's at the end harmonize beautifully. But the Bible also has authority that somehow just comes from itself. Somehow there is something about the Bible that sets it apart from anything else because of its subject matter. Where else? What other book opens up to us in the way that the Bible does the most fundamental issues of life? The matter to do with our soul, heaven, hell, eternity, opens up to us this God of immense glory and power. No other book. And it is as if when we read it, even though people might want to fight against it and might want to rebel against it, it speaks to us in a way that no other book does. That portion of the psalm that we read a moment ago, Psalm 68. Well, there's so much in that. God's awesome power and his strength and the mighty works that he does. It almost, just by itself, makes us stop and think and consider it. No other book has subject matter like that. And of course, where is the Bible taking us to? To whom is it taking us to? Where is it all leading to? Charlotte?
God.
It's leading to God, and in particular, it's leading to Molly. Heaven. Charlotte? The Lord Jesus. It's taking us to the Lord Jesus. It's taking us to a figure who, again, even though people may not become Christians, they are forced to say, this person is exceptional. There is something about him that we have seen nowhere else. So that even Muslims are forced to say, well, we'll include him among our list of prophets. We will respect him because there's something about him. Well, they then sort of put Muhammad over and above him. Ah, you see, that's what they do, isn't it? They find another authority. Wrong. Because he only stands out to us as the saviour of men and women. Because the Bible is there not in and of itself to feed our minds, but what is it there to feed? What's it there to feed? Molly?
Our soul.
Precisely. Our soul. It feeds the soul. It comes out to us as it reaches out, because we need the Holy Spirit for that, don't we? But it reaches out to us and it feeds the soul. And it commands our attention unlike any other book because of its subject matter. God's great glory, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who meets the need of our soul and feeds our soul. No other book does that. And even if people don't become Christians, they're still forced to say, there's something about it. There's something about this book. There's something about this Lord Jesus Christ here. We're going to respect him as a great teacher and a prophet, even if we don't receive him as we should, as what? Timothy?
Our Savior.
Our Savior. Even if we don't go that far. But the Bible, of course, takes us to that. Well, we step back and say, oh, I'm not going to take him at that, but I'll respect him for all these other things. Because it has an authority because of the subject matter it has. Its contents. This book is unlike any other book you'll find anywhere else in the world. Remarkable. But yesterday, I was in, well, we'll call it a church there, we'll be kind. I was in a church. And in that church, there was a magazine. And I had a little look in this magazine. And this person was saying, summarizing a book. Here is something you need to have to know God. That's what the Bible's telling us, isn't it? How to find God, how to know him, how to live for him, how to serve him, how we can know his blessing upon our hearts and souls. It said this. This is how to know God. We know him through music and art and shared ritual. Shared ritual, which would be like a form of having communion, but doing it in all such a way that everybody's sort of sitting there and kind of some group identity thing that's a bit mystical, really. Doing it all in a particular order, and having this set routine or something and living by that. Music, art, and shared ritual. What's missing? What's missing? Molly? God? In particular, what's missing? Obvious, with really Stanley.
Jesus.
Yeah? What's missing, Timothy?
Bible.
The Bible. The Word of God. The Bible is missing. How do we know God? It's saying, we know him through music. That would be music without words. How do we know him? It says, through art, a picture or something like that. That's debatable. We should have pictures of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Or we know him through just going through some routine thing, some set prayers or some set ritual. Oh, missing the Bible. Because God has said, this is how you'll know me. You need to understand me from the pages of Scripture. This is how I describe myself. This is how I reveal myself. This is how you can understand the way of salvation. This is how you'll be able, if you're a Christian, to live in such a way as to please me through the Bible. That's where the authority is. But this woman was saying, no, don't need that. Music and art and shared ritual. And that is big these days. That is very big. Because you see, this woman, because we know this, she's thrown away the Bible. She's got a different idea. The Bible is all about putting aside this idea of God the Father and God the Son and having a freer understanding of things there and liberating women in particular there. Let's be different and let's reorder the whole thing. And we'll know this through music, strange experiences and art, where the imagination just travels away. God has said, not that. You need the Word of God. And you need the words that are in the Word of God. Because God has said those words are meaningful. They have truth, which you won't find in art, and you won't find in music, and you won't find in shared ritual. You need to hear that truth. And it's the Bible that has that truth. And that truth reaches out to us if we've got a mind and a heart and a willingness to see it. So the world has its own ideas. Oh, have some experience. We'll call that knowing God, and that will be enough for us. We'll use that for our way forward and how to think and understand God. No, our feelings can be way off course. Or use our imaginations to find God and to know him. No, we're sinful, Our imaginations can go way off course. We need the words of Scripture, because those words are truth. And they tell us, this is who he is. This is who we are. This is how to live. This is how you'll get to heaven. This is how you'll please God. So, hear the words of Scripture, won't you? That's where the authority is. That's where we can be sure that we're on safe ground in trying to understand where we are and how to know him and how to serve him. Not our imaginations, not music and art, not our own ideas that we then put on Scripture and say, I think the world is all about this, and parts of the Bible I don't like, I'm going to move over there, and I'm going to reinterpret that bit because I don't really like what it's saying. That's the sinful heart that's saying that and doing that. So, the battle is on, and it's raging fast and fierce. It's out there raging, but it's also raging in here, in your mind and in your heart. You look to God that you win that battle with his help. And keep the Bible precious to you, that it may tell you what to do rather than you tell it what to do, because that is the way to ruin. So may God help each of us to keep the Bible central in everything, to sit under it and to hear it and to order our lives according to it.